Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
I am so ready for the game already on Sunday. Why does it seem like it's been 6 weeks since we've had a game at home?
Well, partly because they lost their last game, and typically when you lose, you can't wait to get back out on the field.
And that's kind of really been the overwhelming sentiment,
and
I think, in the locker room.
Before that.
Right.
And so, yeah,
it's been the sentiment in the locker room. I mean, even Tom Brady has said, you know, hey, we don't, you know, really like to lose around here. In fact, his quote was, I had it saved here. He says, there's a mourning process that goes on with our team, our coaches, our players. We hate losing. It's not something we'll ever get used to. It sucks. The whole week sucks, actually.
Sure. Why would it be fun? Coaches are yelling at you, berating you for what you did wrong.
Everyone sucks but me.
You don't get the black practice player of the week jerseys.
Well... Well, we welcome you inside the playbook for Thursday. I'm John Rook. Eric Scalavino, PFW, is here. Hour number two of the program, we'll welcome in Russell Baxter from ProFootballGuru.com, and we'll run through the entire week in the NFL schedule and certainly focus on the Patriots and Giants. But at least here for the opening hour, program is yours on a Thursday. And by that I mean, hit us up on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Again, that's 508-298-0398. Obviously, email is webradio@patriots.com. Facebook page, John Rooke. Rook is the last name. If you haven't submitted the friend request, please do so. Love talking football with you, whether we're on the show or not. But then you can chat, you can message, you can post, whatever you like on the Facebook page. We have that up during the course of the program. And the Twitter address, at JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. JRook, 0722. That's the Twitter address, and we can go that route as well. Got to make sure that we have all the social media out there so we can stay touched up. That's right. That's right. Is that what we have? Is that our little Twitter sound? That's our Twitter thing? What do we have for Facebook, Matt?
I don't know if there is a sound, really.
There's no Facebook sound?
No. Twitter has a sound because
blood curdling
sound like a bird.
Yeah.
What would Facebook sound like? Somebody getting hit in the face with a book?
Yeah, or just a blood-curdling scream, maybe? I don't know.
How about Zuckerberg saying, I'm the CEO, bitch?
Yeah, that's a good one. Right? That's a good one. See if you can find that. That's good. Every time we mention Facebook, I'm the CEO, bitch. That's what we should do. We should put on our business cards. Patriots.com radio, bitch.
It's implied.
Oh, man. I'm in a good mood today.
I couldn't tell.
I'm in a good mood today. I don't know why. Maybe it's because we're getting closer to actual football again here.
Yep.
It just feels like it's been longer, and I think you're right. I think that's a good point. I think that, you know, when things have been disappointing and you know the team has the capability of overcoming that disappointment, that you're anxious. You can't wait to get back out there. And I do sense that from this team this week, and that certainly is a sign of the positive direction.
Yeah, because if you're a team that you know you're terrible and you have no chance and you're out of it, you dread going back to work, no matter whether it's home or away, you know? But when you're a team that you think,
like, I'll probably,
you know,
do this year with the Friars. I'll dread going to work.
Oh, man.
I know. It's bad. I had to get that in, though.
Come on. Poor Ed Cooley. Give the guy a chance.
I love Ed. Ed is great. He's the best. He's absolutely the right thing at the right time for this program. It's just going to take a little while.
Breath of fresh air.
Yeah. So, all right, back to football. We digress.
Yeah, we like to.
Often. That's unfortunate. That's the problem.
I think
we were both ADD children.
No, not at all.
No. Okay.
Not at all. I'm able to focus.
Okay.
What were you saying?
How much? Here's a good question for you, because I know this has been tossed around a little bit. And by the way, when you chime in on the program today, prediction day,
mm-hmm.
What do you think? Pats, Giants, give me a score. What do you think is going to happen? How's it going to go down? What's your final score? Webradio@patriots.com. Put it up on the Facebook page, or call the Ace Ticket Hotline again, 508-298-0398. How much of a factor is Super Bowl 40,
42.
Thank you. Yeah. How much of a factor is that? Even though it was
zero,
even though this is the first time they've played a game of meaning.
Meaningless.
Okay. That's number one.
Sorry to shoot you down.
No. That's why
I don't think it really.
No, but I'm kind of leading into something.
Okay.
So if that really doesn't mean a lot, then how much more does a meaningless preseason game like these two teams played against each other this year? How much more does that matter, if any?
Matters even less because of, I think, what we talked about yesterday, mm-hmm. where the Giants played zero starters in that game because they had played a game just 2 days earlier.
Right.
And, or 3 days, whatever it was. But all the players on there were mostly players who aren't even going to be in the game or aren't on the team, aren't a factor one way or the other.
Okay.
And there's no game planning involved in those things. They're just putting vanilla fronts out there. So
true. Now, here's why I'm going to take, you know, two minuses like that,
yeah,
and turn it into a plus, because even though both really don't have any meaning or any relative anything to do with what's going to transpire, what should transpire here on Sunday, I'm going to tell you why both games have a lot of meaning.
Okay.
It's because the Patriots lost both of them.
But why, how does Super Bowl 42's loss affect guys who weren't on that
team? It's because it affects us. It affects Patriots fans. It affects a few of those guys in the locker room. Not everybody. I realize there aren't many guys that are actually left.
That game highlights are being played right now.
As I'm watching it over your shoulder as well. How about that for timing?
It's making me sick.
Karma, right?
Making me sick.
Karma. And watching Eli hoist the trophy. Yeah, I know. But it's karma. And I'm telling you that, you know, even though guys say that it makes no difference, different players, different era, different time, different game, different teams, there's only really one guy to me that matters in this instance, and it's Brady. And we know that it eats at Tom's craw. And I think this is why Tom should come out, provided this offensive line can give him some time to breathe. Tom should come out, and I think he slices and dices the Giants this weekend.
Well, I think he does too, but not because of anything that the Giants did before. I think that's just going to be...
I think we all underestimate Brady. This is what makes Brady an elite. This is what's going to end up making him one of the all-time greats to have played the game. In spite of his obvious physical limitations, he's not very fleet of foot. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the world. But
hell no.
It's his fire. It's the fire that burns within a guy like Brady. He's just got that it factor. And I really believe that this kind of eats away at him a little bit. I mean, you know, he was sort of sheepish about it when he was talking about it earlier this week. And no, that game didn't mean much. I've never looked back at it, yada, yada. Kevin Faulk said the same thing. I know he was interviewed a lot this week. And Kevin Faulk said the same thing in the locker room about how he's never even, looked at highlights.
Kevin Faulk, LSU.
Thank you, Kevin. By the way, his alma mater has a huge game this weekend. I got to sit at home and watch that.
Prime time.
Fine, I got to figure out a way.
Big time game.
I know. I got a basketball game exhibition to do that night, but I got to record the football game because I don't want to miss a second of it. It's one of the better regular season college football games we've had probably in some time.
Yeah.
It's a 1-2.
1-2 towards the end of the season.
I know.
Where
it means a lot. It means everything. The winner
Could they possibly play three times this year?
Yes.
Or are they, because they're not in the same
division. No.
Are they?
LSU's West, Alabama's East, I believe.
So they play each other now.
Yep.
They could play each other in the SEC championship,
yep,
and then potentially for the national championship.
Because of the power rating? Yeah, I think it would be a little flukish.
It's not out of the question.
But it's not out of the question. A lot of other things I think would have to happen.
Have any college football teams ever played three times in the season?
No.
I wouldn't mind seeing that happen just for that.
Now, that it might have happened back in 1896 when, you know, Georgia Tech played Susquehanna three times in a year or something because you couldn't schedule games.
In the modern era.
No, not at all. In fact, it's really only been since the advent of the BCS that you've had teams play twice in a year, and that's rare.
Right.
It's only been since you developed a college a conference championship game since teams have played twice, and that's, like I said, it's been very rare. So, all right, there we go. We're digressing again. The point here,
good reason though.
I digressed. The point here is that I just feel like just getting a sort of a sixth sense from listening to Tom talk, and maybe I'm doing a little bit of reading between the lines, that or listening between the lines, as the case may be, that I think he's going to be ready for this one as well as he can possibly be. And let's face it, Tom's also been taking a little bit of criticism. You know, his completion rate's been down. He's thrown more picks.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a little criticism on his arm strength because he's allegedly had elbow problems. We've seen him with the ice bag on his elbow on the sidelines. He's taken an inordinate amount of hits. He's been sacked 11 times over the last three games. I mean, he has taken a pounding, more so than perhaps in, you know, recent previous years. And I think he's kind of like, all right, we're back home. We need to take care of business. We need to get back on the right track. I'm going to put it on my shoulders this time. Just a feeling,
right,
just
fine.
A thought.
And
you're right. Those two games mean really nothing. I mean, especially the preseason game, you're absolutely right. We couldn't wait for that preseason game to get over with, as I recall.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because it was just hideous, number one, to watch.
It's the fourth one.
Yeah, it's really the most hideous of the four, which is why we really need to do away with it. But I understand why they do it and why everything has happened and the way it is, and it is what it is. So, but it's still a loss. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. In fact, I talked to a couple of friends of mine this week who are Giants fans. And they're very wary of the Patriots. They don't expect good things this week at all from their team.
That could just be, you know, pessimism that fans of their team always have with, you know, it happens with in any city. You get so nervous for the game, you start thinking the worst, you know, no matter how good your team is. Is there any element of that?
Maybe.
Are these people always worrywarts, is my
question? No, not really. Now, in fact, one of these guys thinks Eli Manning's the best thing since sliced bread and thinks that Eli is one of the elite quarterbacks along with Brady and some of the others.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I know.
He's right on that case.
I know. He's not an elite. He's a good quarterback.
Good quarterback.
He's not an elite. The problem with Eli is that he keeps, and we talked about this yesterday, I think, the problem with Eli is he keeps getting compared to his brother.
Yeah.
And his brother's going to go down as one of the two or three top QBs of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just anybody's going to pale in comparison to
right.
that. Unless your name is Joe Montana, you're going to pale in comparison. That's it. Right?
Or Elway. Or
John.
Yeah.
Yeah, Elway. Probably Elway. I would also have to throw Johnny U in there just because, you know, I have to throw an old school guy in
there. Unlike
you,
I never saw him play.
Thank
live.
You. Thanks a lot. You lie like a dog. Are you serious?
I've never seen him play live.
How old are you?
I'm 30. Well, I'll be 39 in January.
Okay. So you were alive for Johnny Unitas to play.
I wasn't alive to remember watching him.
Okay. Fair enough.
Well, when did he retire?
1970. What? We got to look it up. Look it up. We'll look it up.
Yeah.
I can't type.
You know what? I'll do it.
Time.
I'll do it for you.
All right. Early 70s, I want to say 70, 71, somewhere in there I think is when he finished up. So I was a teenager at the time, or becoming a teenager at the time.
Hmm.
See, somebody else is Googling it right
73,
now.
Yeah, the okay, 73,
the
year I was born.
Year you were born is when he retired?
Yeah.
Okay.
With the San Diego Chargers. Didn't know that.
Yes, that I remembered. He was not always with the Baltimore Colts. 73.
Okay. And he started with?
Wow, that's a good one. Before Baltimore? Gosh, you got me.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Steelers. Okay. Thank you.
1 year with them.
I had forgotten that. Totally had forgotten that. And it's because he's such a omnipresent, mm-hmm. you know, kind of guy.
Associated with one team.
Well, associated with one team, Baltimore. It's where he had most of his success. Played in the greatest game.
Started
ever.
And ended with teams other than the Colts.
Yeah. That's little known fact about Johnny U.
Yep.
They have a nice trophy. They have a statue of him at Louisville when I was there. Doing games early.
Oh, yeah?
Too. Yeah. Which is deserved, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely deserved. If you could name a top three quarterbacks of all time, who would you name?
I always take John Elway first for this reason. Two reasons, actually. One, he always carried the Broncos in those first few Super Bowls. It was all about him. He had no running backs. He had no defense. It was all him. He got the Broncos to those Super Bowls. Secondly, unlike Montana, who had talent galore around him for his entire career, the guy was blessed with that. And we don't know how good a quarterback he would have been if he were in Elway's shoes in Denver. Secondly, nobody could scramble as well as Elway. Could improvise, get out of the pocket, make things happen, better than John Elway. I was scared to death every time the Patriots played his Broncos because I always knew he was going to kill them one way or another, and he always did. And he did it to tons of other teams too, but I never saw even guys like Montana, and I grew up watching both of those guys. I always thought Elway was the more frightening quarterback, so I would have put him first, probably put Brady second, very closely with Montana and Peyton Manning.
Okay.
3-4.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. I have to put Marino up there, too, even though he never won a Super Bowl, because like Elway, he always was the Dolphins. He brought them to playoffs and multi-win seasons the way no other quarterback probably could.
Okay.
He wasn't a scrambler. He wasn't going to do anything that way. But
no.
The guy stood in the pocket.
Yeah,
and,
as well as anybody.
Yeah.
All right. In terms of, I think I have to categorize them somewhat differently. I put Unitas in there for his generalmanship, his leadership out on the field. He did obviously play for one of the premier franchises of his era in the Baltimore Colts back then. But I'm going to go, three new school, three old school, three relatively, because I just don't know that you can compare the eras and mix and match. Old school, Unitas is there. I'm going to also put, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to put a Washington Redskin in there and Sammy Ball.
Sammy Ball.
Just because he revolutionized the game through the forward pass. And he slung it. That's why his nickname was Slinging Sammy Ball. He slung it as well and as spectacularly as any quarterback did. I would also tell you that two of the quarterbacks that I feared the most during that time as a youngster growing up, mm-hmm. Sonny Jurgensen was one. Just because he.
Another Redskin.
Yeah, another Redskin. And he was one of the ones that I feared just because he always seemed to have his team in the hunt. And the other one that I feared was also Redskin, the guy that followed Jurgensen, Billy Kilmer.
Well, you're heavy on the Redskins here.
I believe it, but I can't believe I'm saying that because I hated the Redskins.
Yeah, being
hated
from
the
Fort Worth,
being
Cowboys
a Cowboy fan.
Fan,
I hated the Redskins, and I love Roger Staubach. You know, and Roger Staubach is one of the greats too. But those three guys scared me the most. Maybe it was because I had the emotion against the Redskins at the time. But Jurgensen and Kilmer, I really ended up having the utmost respect for. And the other quarterback that I really enjoyed watching play, just because for his ability to make plays, to make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what?
Feathers.
Yes, and that was Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah,
Fran Tarkenton. Gosh, that guy.
He was a good scrambler,
too. You could not bring that son of a gun down. Mm-hmm. You couldn't do it.
He was probably as good a scrambler as Elway, but not quite as good a passer.
He was a pretty good mix of the both.
He was a good mix, but I think, you know, Elway could force the ball into areas that no other quarterback could simply because he had such a strong arm and it was accurate.
Mm-hmm.
He would thread the knee, like on the drive. That touchdown, if you see the NFL Films replay, the ball it's only where the receiver can get it.
Right. The more modern era, I think you have to go with Montana at the top. I think that Marino is probably pretty close behind. Elway, it's hard not to put him in that list. But since you did, I'm going to throw in another name for a guy that, frankly, I can't believe I'm saying it again, but just because of what he meant to his team, I think probably earlier in his career, and that's Brett Favre. I'm going to get hammered for that.
I know what he meant to his team. You're right.
It's because we only remember the Brett that just wouldn't go away.
I've always wanted to be a Packer.
No, the and early
I think
Brett.
I always will be a Packer.
Yeah, the early Brett was.
But the early Brett was pretty solid.
It was Elway-like, where
pretty
he carried
solid.
The team. Yeah,
pretty solid.
He
so,
and he
right.
did a lot of stupid things.
But you see, though, I still can't get below.
On the field.
Yeah. I still can't get below, you know, having to go like old school, new school. I can't get by that because it's so hard to compare. You can't mix and match the eras.
You got to go pretty much pre-merger and post-merger, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would say that, you know, 1970s is an era where you could kind of mix and match a little bit. But
yeah, there's some overlap in there.
Yeah, some overlap in there, probably to about the mid-70s. And then from I would say from about 77 on would have to be considered the modern era. because that's about the time that you went to the 16-game schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's just a different breed of quarterback that came and it sort of evolved along with the 16-game regular season schedule, which we've had since that time, by the way. When do we have 16 games? 79? Was that the first year for 16 games?
Well, because 74 was when Tampa Bay came in, right?
Yeah.
Tampa Bay and Seattle came in 74. And they were 14-0,
correct.
Right?
I think it was
76 that they went to.
Was it?
Can you check on that too? I think it was 76.
I thought it was
79 games.
I thought it was 70. All right. Well, anyway, that's the time where I think we have the true morphing from old school to new school, from postmodern era.
Okay, I'll buy that.
The postmodern era really is a little bit after the merger between the AFL and NFL in 1970.
Right. There was a little bit of a transition period.
Yes, there was a transitional period. But when the NFL went to 16 games, which we're still at now, I truly believe that's when we moved into the modern era. And that's obviously where we reside now. Now, question is, do we siphon off another era altogether in the NFL once we do go beyond 16 games, which we're still destined to do? I believe that firmly. I don't know if it happens next year, but I do think it's going to happen within the next few years. I think we're going to see it happen.
I'm more optimistic that it won't happen. Because I don't think the players are going to let it happen.
I think the players will probably do what all good businessmen do, and they realize that it's for the betterment of the game.
I don't think it is, though.
Well, but if it lines their pockets, why is that not for the betterment of the game?
Because it's for the betterment of their pockets.
Too. It'll line their coffins a lot earlier, too.
Yeah.
Well, it might, but I mean, those guys, you know how those guys think. They all think that they're invincible.
But look at that. What's his name? I'm drawing a complete blank right now, but the guy who waved off the ref after he whacked his head 2 weeks ago, then had a seizure on the sidelines.
Oh, yeah.
I'm drawing a complete blank on his name, but, I mean, you're...
Yeah, I can't...
The game's getting so physical... That going to 18, I mean, with how many concussions people are getting
I don't see it happening.
It's going to keep going up.
It's going to happen, fellas.
And you want to have 16 games?
Whether you like it or not, it's going to go from 16 to 18. At some point, it's going to go. Just, I mean, you know.
Any luck on the 16 games?
Working on it.
Oh, okay.
He's looking it up. It's going to happen.
We'll see. I'm not convinced yet.
All right. Fair enough. Somebody wanted to take me to task, an emailer here yesterday.
What about?
Says, John, yesterday you said that the team with the worst record had the first crack at Brandon Lloyd. Only the case when a player is waived, not with trades. My understanding was that the Pats wanted a longer-term contract from Lloyd.
Yeah, he's right. That is only when it comes to waivers.
So they wanted a longer-term deal for Lloyd? Is that really why you think?
I think money and / contract was definitely a factor in that.
So they wanted more out of him than Lloyd was willing to give?
No, I think Lloyd wanted more than the Patriots.
Oh, than the Patriots were willing to give.
Yeah.
Well, see, I understand that to an extent, but then again, I would also ask, okay, do you want to win or not? Well, I mean, don't players want to win? And if a guy won't at least consider that and want to come to a place where you have a chance to win and get into the playoffs and have a chance to win a ring, mm-hmm. I got no use for you. So as far as I'm concerned, everybody's saying, oh, let's just go get Brandon Lloyd in the offseason. No, he had his chance. Screw him. I don't want that kind of player here. We already have enough guys like that in the locker room. We need guys who are dedicated to doing one thing and one thing only, the Patriot way, which is win, baby. Let's steal the phrase from Al Davis, God rest his soul, but now that phrase belongs to New England. Just win. Well, we can leave the baby part out if we have to. We can leave that for Al. But just win. Okay, that's all I care about. Win. Did you win?
Leave the baby part out.
Yeah, Did you win? No? Okay, you suck. Did you win? Yes, good. Next.
Wow, what have you done for me this week?
That's kind of how... I mean, am I wrong about Patriots fans, though?
No, I think that winning Super Bowls has bred that sort of attitude, yeah.
There you go. And so...
The whole region, too, has been spoiled with...
No doubt.
The Red Sox winning two titles.
No doubt.
The Celtics winning another one.
No doubt.
The Bruins winning one. The Patriots winning three.
We've had all the majors. The four major sports have all won championships within a decade in a 10-year span, which is extraordinary.
And we even threw soccer and lacrosse in there, too. They both won championships in that span, too.
No, soccer went
has not won
titles
an MLS.
And lost them.
Yeah, they're the Buffalo Bills of the MLS.
Okay.
Yeah.
They did win Superliga.
But that's not.
And they also won the U.S. Open Cup. It doesn't
this
count.
This isn't tennis. Tennis doesn't count on the soccer field.
So I got the first 16-game NFL season.
And?
Was?
And this guy's the winner.
Oh.
78.
It was 78.
Oh, so
what's
the difference for us?
I was close. You said 76.
You said 79. Yeah.
It was 78. Yeah.
All right.
Close. I was close.
All right.
I do that without the benefit of the internet, too. That's pretty good, you know? It's because I had lived it. That's why.
I was going through the blizzard of 78 at the time.
Yeah, a lot of people did that around here. Very true. All right. 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline. 508-298-0398. Web radio at patriots.com. Get us on Facebook as well. We need some predictions here. What's going to happen in this game? Are you feeling as good as I am, as maybe Eric is, or are you thinking this is going to be a little bit tougher to take? Now, I know we have Giants fans who are listening because you guys have emailed over the course of the last couple of days. Speak up or forever hold your peace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxboro, next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
How about you're going to play the clip?
This time, you're going to handle the business conversation.
Can barely hear it.
Yeah, I think you needed to bring the music down a little bit.
There you go.
And play the clip again. Play the clip again with the music a little bit lower. You can keep the music up, but just keep it lower.
Teaching Matt how to do this.
It's on the job training.
Trying to run three things on the computer.
I knew it.
We're killing him.
Oh, I love it. Oh, poor Matt. He's trying his hardest in there. All right, well, this
time, here we go. You're going to hand him a business card that says, I'm CEO, bitch.
It's funnier with Timberlake's falsetto voice saying it,
I know.
Too.
Isn't that
I'm
great?
CEO, bitch.
Oh, my goodness. I keep waiting for Andy Samberg to come out of the woodwork somewhere else, you know. I love when those two guys get together on SNL. It is funny.
It is.
That's some of the best stuff SNL has
Mother
done.
Lover?
Yes. Some of the best stuff that SNL has done probably in 25 years. You know, when those two guys are together. It's really funny. Funny stuff. All right. Welcome back to the program. 508-298-0398, as you know. Webradio@patriots.com. I want to give a little bit of a shout out here because you saw me chuckling here on the Facebook page.
Oh, man.
Buddy of mine from high school listening to the show. Big John has listened, so thanks, John. And he says, can you give a shout out to all of the Cowboy fans out there? You know I'm a Cowboy fan because that's where I grew up.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah. Thanks, Jimmy. We both kind of grew up that way, and we both went to the same high school, and he works and lives in Boston, and, you know, I've known JD for, good Lord, JD, how long have we known each other? Probably since Westcliff Elementary. So that would be over 40 years.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
Now, you suck, okay? You suck.
He knows how to punch those buttons on the computer.
A little bit of payback right there.
Oh, my God. Thanks, Matt. Well, I did kill him, so that's okay. Anyway, go PHS, Big John. Thanks for listening.
What was your high school?
Pascal High School in Fort Worth, Texas.
Big football school? I know it's kind of redundant in Texas, but...
No, we sucked.
Did you?
Actually, when we were there, the football program was pretty good. The last 3.5 decades, they've been pretty crappy. We were a big basketball and, believe it or not, baseball school. Baseball was always good, but basketball was our big sport. And then, in fact, during my time in high school, we actually made the state championship game, which in Texas is huge. And it's 5A now. It was 4A back then. But we lost the state championship game to one of the greatest high school teams I ever personally saw play. I remember watching. You remember Bill Cartwright played for the New York Knicks years ago? And his high school...
And the Bulls.
And the Bulls, too. Yes,
career,
right. And Cartwright's high school team was really good, but this high school team from Houston Cashmere High School was one of the all-time great high school basketball teams I ever saw play.
Must have good Letterman sweaters
They were, well, it was Cashmere with a K. What does that tell you?
Thank you. A little late on the draw there.
Yeah, I know. I got that one. But they were really good, and we lost to them by 2 points in the state championship game my sophomore year. And great. Okay, and I know that just... completely and totally fascinates the current
points
of you.
Did you have?
Me? Nothing. I sat on the bench. I was just privileged to be there.
Damn it. Hey, so you could have made it up. I wouldn't have known any.
I know. No, some jerk would look it up on the internet. Because you know that crap's on the internet now. So you can't lie about this stuff. Can't lie about it at all.
They had stats from back then. Come on.
Look it up.
Thank you.
Look it up.
I don't know if I needed a rim shot or... or just did he really just say that?
I'm CEO, bitch.
All right.
This time, you're gonna hand him a business card that says, I'm CEO, bitch.
We really need somebody to say
falsetto voice. Definitely,
it makes it even better.
We need somebody to come in and fake one up and do one. This is Patriots.com radio, bitch.
I think that you two would be perfect for it.
All right, there you go. Here you go. Record this. You ready? Ready? Record it. I'm telling you, record it. You're gonna record
it. Mark tape.
He's gonna mark tape here. Let me know when you're ready and you're rolling.
Gotta help control yourself here, John.
I know.
It's gonna
poor
take
Matt,
a while.
Poor Matt.
He's running seven things in there now.
He's giving me a cue. Okay. This is Patriots.com radio, bitch. There, got that? Okay. All right. He's got it now. There you go.
Doing live liners. Yeah, this is unbelievable.
I know. Live work. That's what we do for a living. Wow. We got
got some predictions?
We got a job offer here.
What?
I would like to send our company brochure if you ever might need photo editing services or website redesign.
For God's sake.
Nice, huh?
Spam.
Oh, good. Here's another one from a T-shirt company that offering us free artwork. Oh, the spamsters are out today, aren't they?
Woo-wee!
I hope that anybody knows that if they take the web radio at patriots.com address and send us your stuff, it automatically, I mean, you would be the last person in the world for me to either advertise or to read it out loud or to, by some chance, partake of your product.
Right.
Okay, because this is not
the wrong way to go.
No, not exactly.
Wrong way to go. We're looking for predictions. It's Thursday.
Mike in Carlsbad, California, who says he's an original Patriots fan for life, born and raised in the city of champions, Boston, Mass. That's what he says. I'll keep it simple, if nothing else. I want the Patriots playing like they are war dogs from hell this Sunday. I'd like to see vengeance at its best from Sunday because last Sunday's loss was repugnant. Give him hell, Pats. Doesn't give a score, but he does give us a word for the day. Repugnant.
Repugnant, yeah.
I like that. That's
I like
good.
It, too.
We do like words of the day here. We're very big on, you know, stepping up our vocabulary here on the program.
So right.
Repugnant.
Unlike the show that comes before us.
What do you think the best word to come out of that program has ever been?
I don't know. Anytime I'm on, and I have something to say.
Wow.
Okay. They know it's true.
All right, let's go to Dante in North Carolina. Is it Dante?
Yes, sir, Dante.
Hey, Dante, how are you, buddy?
I'm pretty good. How y'all doing today?
Great. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
I just want to comment on the game for Sunday. I think it's going to give us a hard time because I think the cornerbacks going to play our receivers pretty tough because we sure can't stretch the field.
Yep. Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And another comment, I mean, I believe in Belichick. Believe me, I believe him. But I think he's going to have to change up on the draft a little bit because everybody that's getting number one draft, we try to trade for value. That's all in good. But some things you got to change because this group of defense players we got right now, I mean, I don't understand what they play. I know it's like a 4-3 man all the time, but they kill us. We can't get no pressure.
As far as changing the draft, I think I'm with you there. You actually want them to use the picks that they have instead of trading them out. Yeah, I mean, because they're no good if you keep trading down, acquiring lower picks. I mean, your chances are better of getting talent if you draft higher.
Yeah.
Period.
I mean, I know people don't like Randy Moss, but I don't care what nobody say. He could scratch that fear for us, and Wetter and Woolhead and everybody else could get it underneath passes. Since nobody can't scratch the fear, we don't have no deep threat. Now everybody's playing us up close and jamming us at the line. We are such a finesse team. We don't play with no urgency, like nothing. We got no mean screen.
Well, you know what? They've played with urgency in the last two games, in the last 2 minutes of the last two games. And that's not a good thing because that means they were playing from behind and they were forced to do that. And, you know, I agree with you. They should have been like that throughout the whole game.
Yeah. I think he just needs to make some changes going into the draft because this trading for that value, it worked good in the last past years, but all good things got to come to an end. You got to change up something got to change.
That's pretty clear. You know, but, you know, the other thing that we've been talking about, though, Dante, is that, frankly, this team is going to be, I don't know that it's going to get any, it's, I don't know that it's going to get considerably better than what we have now. So, I think Paul brought up a good point at the end of PFW where you almost have to figure, like, the Patriots are going to have to look at scoring 27 to 28 to 30 points a week. And if you do that, you should be in pretty good shape, even with the defense you have. But this defense is not going to be one of those teams that gives up 16, 17 a game. They're going to give up 21, 24, 28, and sometimes 30, and it's just going to happen. You have to hope that the offense does not have an off day in order to have a chance to win. That's really where we are this year.
Yeah, but you can't count on Brady. He only human. He can't. He ain't like, right. He's not going to be that.
You're right. And we've already seen that. We saw that against Buffalo. He was only human, and in fact, he was a little less than human that day. And it still took, you know, a fourth, you know, pick six for the Patriots to lose the game. But we're talking, you know, that's the kind of thing that has to happen. So it's not all doom and gloom around here. I think, you know, through 8 weeks of the season now, we've come to the realization we know what kind of a football team we have. Mm-hmm. This is what we have. Can it improve? Well, regardedly cautiously optimistic. How about that? It's a double adjective.
Regardedly
there.
Cautiously optimistic.
Optimistic, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I?
So you're not sure, in other words.
I'm not sure. But
today, Junior!
Thank you very much. Today! The reason we are is because you go through a season, you have to sort of go through a feeling out process. We saw some improvements against the Cowboys and against the Jets before that, and now there's been a big regression against the Steelers. So because of that, don't really know what we're going to get. We hope that this defense can get back to at least what it was against the Jets and the Cowboys. Yeah. And if you're able to get that, you should be okay.
Get a pass rush. A pass. I can sit back there, man.
Well,
I'm 38 years old. I can sit back there and complete a pass against the Patriots, my man.
Wow.
You don't have no coverage. Can't get back. Did you see the game? How they just get back there? It's like a solid wall. My best friend, he a Jets fan, man. And he's saying the same thing about his team. At least Rex Ryan seeing six or seven people, man, and making her throw the ball. Mm-hmm. We sit back there with four people. Sometimes we send five. And the quarterback still got all day picking his nose, man. I mean, the quarterbacks is not going to have. It's just like playing one-on-one basketball. They're not going to be able to cover receivers all day long, man. So something got to give. Either got to have good corners, at least give me a rush, somebody to rush the quarterback, man.
Dante, let me ask you a question. You're from North Carolina, right?
Yes, sir, I am.
How'd you become a Patriots fan?
Ben Coates, man.
Ben Coates.
Okay. That's right, because he's from North Carolina, right?
Livingston. He went to Livingston University.
Livingstone College?
Yeah, Livingston College, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I said my two best friends is Carolina Patriot and a Jets fan, man. I'm trying to hear from that Jets guy.
You'll hear from him next week, right?
I can't take it, man.
All right, I know. You're going to hear from him next week. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know, man. That's why we need this. I don't know if I want the Jets to win this week or lose, man.
Well, you kind of need them to win to get Buffalo out of the tie for the AFC East League.
Yeah, that's what we want.
We turn around and play them again, though, next week.
I know. Right, so you beat them next week.
You got to beat them next week.
You got to beat them next week.
But I think you want to take care of Buffalo. So yeah. I kind of agree with Eric. If you're looking at it from a purely Patriots perspective,
I think the emotions out of it.
I think you want the Jets to beat the Bills.
Yeah.
It won't make me sick if the Bills win. I'll put it to you that way.
Right.
Okay. But I think if you're looking at it from a purely are we going to be in first place perspective, then you want the Jets to win.
Yeah.
But you know what? Call us next week for therapy because I know you're going to need it with that Jets friend of yours.
Let me ask y'all guys one more question.
Sure.
How would y'all like if Bill Belichick take the two tight ends and put them out? At least put Hernandez out as wide receivers.
Oh, they do that.
They do
several
it.
Times a game.
They do it.
Yeah, Gronkowski often lines up as the split end. Hernandez has done it several times. They mix that up quite a bit.
They split wide out with the tight ends.
You might not always see it on television, but we see it because we get the view from the press box. We get all 22 there.
Yep.
And they do that. They don't do it every play, obviously, but they have done it pretty much every
game. I'll tell you, man, I think you should have gave Randy Moss another chance, man. Be honest.
I think that ship has sailed, though.
I tell you what, just look at it. Don't look at the problem off the field. Listen, give me a chance. Now, give me a chance to put it out there.
No, that's fine. That's fine. The reason I say that is because I just had somebody Facebook, our friend Joshua, who says, hey, John, ask Eric if he thinks Randy Moss is coming back.
See, listen, if we had Randy Moss, we wouldn't have to worry about nobody roughing our little receivers up, our little Mickey Mouse receivers up all the time at the line of scrimmage. You won't have to worry about nobody holding Wes Welker his jersey in the back and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the only thing they're doing is playing man to man, jamming everybody in the middle. Right. We ain't got nobody to stretch the field. They put a price on the field one time, man.
Yep. I love your passion. Good stuff, Dante.
All right, Dante.
Good stuff, man.
Okay.
We'll talk to you next week.
Man, y'all do a good job. I appreciate it, man. Y'all take care, man.
Thank you, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. Dante in North Carolina.
That's a lot of passion right there.
He's got a lot. That's what I love. That's what I love about this whole thing. By the way, Joshua says Pat's 38, G-men 17.
21 points, huh?
Yeah, that's what he says.
I'm looking more at a 14 point.
G-men! Where did they ever come up with that? Why do they call G-Man? I mean, that was an old 1950s phrase for guys who were in the FBI.
Yeah, if you're a government agent. Yeah, you're a government agent.
Government guy. Right. That's how the phrase G-Man came. So I don't know how they ever... How do you flip that over to the New York Giants?
I don't know, because they're men. Their team begins with a G.
I just think Berman spazzed out, that's all.
Maybe.
Mary Beth says, didn't Eli Manning put himself in the same class with Tom Brady in a radio interview this summer?
He did.
I want the Pats to show him he is definitely not.
Everyone sucks but me.
In Manning's defense, though, if you're a player, you need to have that kind of confidence to say that you feel like you're one of the best, then... What do you? Oh man! What
happened? You almost read this.
Where am I?
Right down here.
I want to sit down. This looks funny.
Oh my god!
I don't know. Can I read that?
Oh, wow.
Tim, you know who you are.
Yep.
You just made us LOL.
In fact,
you just made me LMAO.
Truer words never been spoken. We can't read it on the air, but...
I can't read it on the air.
That was good.
Well, he was just laughing because I was getting spammed here a little while ago.
Yeah.
So it's spam day. If you need a bigger bleep, listen to Patriots Radio for the 2 hours before Playbook comes on. Andy is a giant bleep. And let me put it to you this way. The bleep is the same word.
Yeah, it rhymes with Venus.
Yeah, there you go.
His head is often compared to the size of a planet, too, so it's appropriate.
Yeah, he does have a big head. That's no doubt about that. Oh, my goodness. That's a laugh of the day right there. I'm totally...
You should know I got a little wiener.
All right. I've lost my
track.
Where are we now? Okay. Oh, our friend Sergeant Conroy, Sergeant Michael Conroy.
Thank you for your service.
Yes. Sorry I use your full name, but it's Sergeant Conroy, and I like to refer people to their first name.
Sergeant Conroy.
Yes, okay. Right. Guys, I keep hearing that we are still rebuilding our defense. Well, don't you need young players with potential? Most of our starting defense is older vets that we signed to a one-year deal or undrafted free agents that shouldn't be on the field. Spikes, Chung, and McCourty are really the only young players that are playing enough to develop. Even on offense, our top three receivers are all over 30, with only one wideout that is young and can develop, and he hasn't even been on the field.
Well, there are two, technically.
Price and?
The guy who got in trouble this week.
Edelman.
But with regard to Price, you heard Bill O'Brien's comments the other day on the conference call Tuesday about how Taylor Price, and we'd like to get him more involved. I don't think they would come out and say that publicly, knowing how guarded they are with every word that they say. From a PR perspective here, if that weren't going to be the case. Now, we saw him one deep ball against Pittsburgh, which a little underthrown by Brady, not really, you know, Price's fault on that play. But I have a feeling we're going to start seeing more of Price. If they're coming out and saying that publicly, I have to believe it. And I'm going to look for it this weekend. Right. I'm going to hold him accountable.
Well, but, you know, he's also going to throw in his direction. He's got to come up with one or two.
He does. He has to.
Kind of like Ocho Cinco. Right. You're going to throw in the direction. You better come up with
it. Oh, absolutely. But so far they haven't even given him a chance. So I'd like to see it.
Janine.
Look for it this weekend.
Janine. John, I am writing in from Austin, Texas. God's country. My prediction is that the Pats will win the coin toss. The Giants will take the field and go three and out. That'll get the crowd wildly excited because the defense came out in fierce fashion. Then the offense will come out for a nice long drive and score, and the final will be 31-17. I am flustered with Bill Belichick as well, but it is important that the Patriots Nation believes and comes in with a vengeance against the jerks. I went to Pat's Jets game this year. I flew in just to go to the game.
Oh.
It was my first game, and I was blown away by the fans' support. I cannot fly again this weekend, but I encourage the locals to get loud. Let's help them get a big W. Janine, thanks for the
email. From Austin.
From Austin, Texas. God's country.
It's twice you've said that. I know.
How's Mac and the boys doing this week? They're playing Texas Tech this week. I don't know.
Texas Tech's good.
Yeah.
You guys aren't
beat
so much.
Beat Oklahoma, I know. They beat your team, strippers.
Should have seen the venom in his eyes. He's looking at me while he says that.
I know. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right.
I like her prediction.
Yeah.
31-17. I'm not quite sure, just given the success the Giants have had rushing Brady in the past, and a lot of those same guys are still on the team, and they've added a guy in Jason Pierre-Paul who's done pretty well so far this year with that, that it might be a little tough for him. I mean, the offensive line needs to step it up a little bit. They've allowed Brady to get sacked a little too much in recent games.
11 in 3 weeks.
Yeah. So they if they can step up, that'll help. But I'm not even sure they can hit 30 again this week if they can't. If they can't protect Brady, it's going to be tough for them to score that many points. But I still like them to win by about 14. So
I don't think there's any way they can hold
30
the Giants.
30-16 maybe is pushing it.
I don't think there's any way they hold the Giants to under 20. I don't think there's any way. I just don't. I'm not a believer. Just not a believer.
So what are you going with for a score?
I'm looking at 30-24.
Ooh.
I think the Patriots win, but I think it's a backdoor cover for the Giants. I think that they probably score late, try an onside kick, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. And I think we'll probably be on the edge of our seats most of the game.
Well, that's it's getting to be the theme of this team, too.
I'm telling you, that's who this team
week
is.
Week in, week out.
That's who this team is. This is the makeup of the New England Patriots 2011.
I guess in a way that's kind of exciting because you have an offense that can score a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in games that you have to stay and watch for the whole 60 minutes. You can't, you know, leave at halftime knowing it's a blowout. So maybe in a weird way, it's more exciting to watch this kind of team.
Practice report from today. I know we had some good news.
Some good news. Welker back out there. He missed yesterday with the neck. Actually, because of this photo, John.
Yeah, because the photo that's on the cover of PFW.
Troy Polamalu spinning his head around.
Yeah, I would say that give you a little bit of a crick in the neck.
Yeah,
that
and he probably didn't feel it till the next day because we saw him in the locker room and he talked to us afterwards. Didn't seem to have any sort of problem, didn't have any sort of brace or anything or ice pack, anything like that. It's probably one of those things where he woke up the next day and couldn't move, you know. But, I don't think it's going to affect his participation in the game on Sunday.
That's good, at least.
Dane Fletcher, though, if it weren't for him, they'd have perfect attendance.
Wow.
They're as healthy as you can expect at this point in the season.
So Albert was out there too.
Yeah. And he's not even on the injury report anymore.
Well, that's a good thing, and that's how I kind of wanted to leave it here with you because, frankly, I think this game boils down to a couple of things I talked about with Chris Price from WEEI.com yesterday, and how can this Patriot defense improve? And I really believe that it's all predicated on, and that's why I asked Chris on the program because I share his beliefs. It really depends on how they collapse the pocket, and that really that involves directly Albert Haynesworth and being able to team up with Vince Wilfork more than just one down a series.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have Albert out there for two or three plays. Maybe you sub him and then you bring him back in, but you've got to have him in there because if you don't, there's no way that you're going to be able to get pressure up the middle. Most of the time, you like to flush quarterbacks out of the pocket. Not necessarily the case with Roethlisberger or a guy like him, but most of the time that's the case. And as the season goes on, and I think this is along the same lines of what we've been talking about, how the Patriots really want a guy like Haynesworth ready to go for November, December. Well, we're getting there now. The reason we say that is because teams have a tendency to rely more on the run later in the year as the weather becomes more of a factor in football games. So you need to have some semblance of a running game, which right now the Giants don't. We know that we talked earlier, PFW had it. Looks like Ahmad Bradshaw has got a broken foot.
He's questionable at the very least.
So, is he going to play with a broken foot? But it's broken. So we won't really probably know until we get to, the actual game time, cut decision, and whatever that, might end up being. But the Giants' running game it's certainly been one of the things we talked earlier this week with Bob Papa, the Giants, that is a problem for them. So if you can make the Giants one-dimensional on offense, which has got to be the goal here,
the problem is that one dimension
is aiming right for the Patriots' weakness.
Yeah.
So you have to find a way to put pressure and collapse Eli and get him to get rid of the ball early. Albert Haynesworth, not just for the long-term viability of this defense, but for this week against the Giants, got to have him in there, got to be healthy. He and Carter and Wilfork and Anderson and whoever the hell else can be in there has got to put pressure on Manning. If you do, Patriots will win the game. If they don't, Manning will pick the secondary apart and the Patriots will be in for a real battle.
One quick question before I leave you.
Go.
Do you remember if, was it 06 when the Colts won the Super Bowl?
Yes.
They had a horrible defense for like the first 12 games of the season.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then in the last month, they turned it around completely and started becoming maybe I have the year wrong, but I thought it was the year they won the Super Bowl. Do you recall that? When they were a terrible defense, and
they
then
were
all of a sudden
defense all the way through the season, they were right near the bottom in both rush and that's when they had a decent pass defense because of Bob Sanders.
Right. And but then at the last month of the year, they turned – yeah, the playoffs. Right.
Playoffs, they went –
they were unstoppable.
They were from allowing like 140 yards a game on the ground to only allowing like 60.
Do you have any hope at all that the Patriots defense can make that kind of turnaround sooner than that, sooner than the end of the year?
Slight hope. Slight. This much. Mm-hmm. About an inch.
I think that's the only thing I can really look to for precedent. Is that season, and it's fairly recent, so that's why I bring it up.
Okay. Let me get a couple of calls in here. If you need to scoot,
all right,
scoot.
Bro.
All right, thanks. See you on Sunday.
Okay.
Eldridge, you're on the playbook. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Great, man. What's going on?
I'm doing pretty good, but hearing your analysis about our defense.
Yes.
And if they get even better, it'll make me very happy, but I can't see it with that secondary. Who's running around look like they lost half the time. And a couple of those guys got some years experience.
Right.
Like Molden, Adams, and McCoy looking horrible.
Yeah, I know.
Looking horrible.
Yeah, I know. But, he's definitely struggling.
But you're talking about putting pressure? Where if Haynesworth and Whiffle put pressure up the middle, you know, I ain't seen Ellis but one or two plays in the last four games.
Yeah, he struggled too. And I think, we're beginning to realize why the Jets decided to go a different direction.
Yes. And then Carter looks good at times. Then again, he disappeared too. But at least he's trying to put constant pressure. But I don't know. I'm looking at it maybe a 28-21 game.
Okay. 28-21, I think, that's probably a pretty good guess. You just have to hope the Patriots are the 28 because I think the defense is capable of giving it up.
Me too. But if they are allowing that secondary, we're in trouble.
Yep. Very true. Very true.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Eldridge. All right. Let me get Thomas in Nova Scotia in here. Thomas, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John.
How's it going?
Not bad. I was just listening to you guys while I was doing my workout, and I thought I just had to call.
Awesome.
Thank you for doing that. You guys are really overreacting to the game last week. Like, with this Giants team, you're talking about a team that was down almost the whole game to the Miami Dolphins last week, and that allowed the Tavares Jackson-led Seattle Seahawks to score over 40 points on them.
Okay.
You know, they're down to their third and fourth string guys all over the place, except for the defensive line. Like, they're down to their third string, fourth string guys just as their starting corners. They're down to, second string safeties, second, third string linebackers. There's no way that they can cover this offense.
Well, you know what? That may very well be the case, Thomas. But, first of all, you can't use what the Giants may have done against the Dolphins, really, and compare that directly against the Patriots. Every week is a different week. Every opponent is a different opponent. In the NFL, with so many teams so equal, especially this year more so than any other year in recent history, anybody can literally beat anybody. And I don't mean, I'm not saying this to put down your theory. I see where you're going with it. But, let's be honest here. Do you think the Giants are going to get fired up for the Patriots or the Dolphins, considering where the Dolphins are this year? It's human nature to take a team lightly when they're 0-6, 0-7. Okay? So, the Giants had a good enough team to overcome all of their foibles to win that game. And all I'm saying is that because the Giants seem to match up pretty well personnel-wise with the Patriots, Giants also have a little momentum against the Patriots going with them as well. And the Giants are also 5-2. They're trying to hold on to a two-game lead in their division. There's a nice little logjam behind them with three teams all 3-4 in the NFC East. So they want to make sure that they can keep a little bit of an edge there. This is a chance for the Giants and for Eli Manning, who opened his big fat yap this summer and said, "I'm as good as Tom Brady." This is a chance for them now to prove that they belong in the discussion amongst the elite teams in the league. And nobody has put the Giants in that discussion this season, have they?
No, I don't think so. But
no.
They shouldn't be in there anyways.
If they beat the Patriots, they will be.
Yeah, but I don't know. The only aspect of the game where I think they have much of an advantage is D-line to your O-line. But otherwise, Eli's probably been the sharpest part of that team other than that.
Well, that might be enough, though, Thomas.
The receivers are dropping a lot of balls. They, you know, it's not going to be like against the Steelers where they're shaking in their boots trying not to give up a 50-yard play.
Okay. I won't disagree with that. I that's why I'm picking the Patriots to win, ultimately, even though I don't really feel that great about this game. I'm picking them to win because they're at home.
Yeah, I'm so confident in this game, you know, I put $50 on it Monday morning.
Wow.
I have no idea how the Patriots would lose this game barring some kind of catastrophic injury.
Well, then you better hope somebody keeps Tom Brady upright.
Yep. Anyways, that's all for me, John.
Thomas, thanks for the call, bud.
Okay, thanks.
All right, appreciate it. All right, we'll take a timeout here, then we're going to come back with pro football guru Russell Baxter in the playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Braves!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots.com radio, bitch. Attaboy, Matt. You learning on the fly here.
See, I actually know how to do things.
That was my very weak Justin Timberlake impression.
Sounds better coming from you rather than.
Oh, goodness. I knew I should not have done that when I did it. Eric looked at me and goes, wow, you really did that. Oh, my. Oh, my. All right. Time to elevate the level of conversation here with ProFootballGuru.com's Russell Baxter.
Baxter!
I apologize, Russell, profusely.
How on earth do I top that?
Well, the conversation got around the Facebook, and we needed a sounder because we were talking about whenever we got a tweet, you know, then we played the little sounder, the little tweet bird thing that we have. Right. And then, you know, when we play that, we said, well, we need something for Facebook. And then, so the idea was, well, let's use the liner that the actor who played Mark Zuckerberg did. And then we said, no, that was Justin Timberlake. And so we found that in the line. And, you know, we said, I'm CEO, bitch, or, you know, whatever it was. So I don't know. Anyway, did you see the movie?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well,
wait a minute. If that is the work, I did see the movie.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yes, I did. I don't remember it all that. I remember that you were in an
addled haze watching the Social Network.
Well, I remember you know what it was? I know Justin Timberlake was in it.
Yeah.
But I thought the young man who played, is it Mark Zuckerberg?
Yes.
Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes.
I thought he was entrancing in terms of his role.
I thought he did a great job.
He was just like, I thought he, you know, I know you don't want to hear my views on movies and stuff, but to me, he carried the movie. You were mesmerized listening to him.
True.
And I think a lot of it is because you wanted to hear the story of how this phenomenon came about.
No question.
So he was not only the lead actor, but he was in some ways the narrator of the movie.
Very true.
You know, so that's why, I mean, I don't remember every line, so it's a fascinating story and so on. It's obviously, you know, Twitter, Facebook. I mean, we're in a different era now, so.
No doubt about that. All right, well, the Patriots obviously have a little backing up to do this week after throwing up a stinker last week in Pittsburgh. I know you probably weren't surprised. We didn't get a chance to talk last Thursday because I was on my son's recruiting trip to Virginia.
No, but I kept my streak of live. For the most part of getting the Patriots games wrong. So,
yeah, so you picked the Pats last week, did you?
Well, it was, to me, show me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big believer in, you know, you got to end these straight. Like, well, we talked about Buffalo earlier in the year. It's 15 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Show me you can beat the Patriots. Well, they finally did it. Same thing with Pittsburgh and their defense against Tom Brady. And, of course, they came out and played a totally different style that they had in years past against him. And I think, and they also kept Tom Brady off the field, which is one of the things we did talk about last week, but never would I have believed it would have been with Ben Roethlisberger controlling the game via the pass the way they did. I mean, he dropped back 55 times, if you include the sacks, which it was funny. At the end of that game, as you well know, he took two long sacks. Those were two of the longest kneel downs I've ever seen, and that's really what they were. The Patriots had the ball for just over 20 minutes last week, and
right.
it was not the kind of I'm not shocked by the result. I think I was more surprised by the technique.
I don't know how the hell you can beat anybody holding on the ball just 20 minutes.
Oh, well, ask Buffalo Bills in Super Bowl 25. That's always been the game plan.
Yeah.
When you have, I mean, the Patriots did that with Corey Dillon against Peyton Manning in the playoffs in 04. Okay? You know, statistics will tell you it's hard to throw a touchdown pass from the sidelines. This doesn't work.
Yeah.
And that's the only way. And, you know, Pittsburgh, with its running game, which has been sporadic, again, controlled the ball, throwing the ball. I mean, you know, you look what they did early in the game, and it was all Heath Miller in the first quarter. And then it was more the outside receivers later in the game, but it was a lot of short passes. It was just a controlled game. And I'm not saying Ben Roethlisberger wasn't capable of it. It just wasn't a game plan we're used to seeing from the Steelers.
Right. Well, you got to give the Steelers, I think, credit. They out-game-planned the Patriots. The Patriots did not execute when they had the chance to execute, specifically on offense. And, of course, the defense, well, that's an entirely different story. When you're allowing 10 for 16 third-down conversions, 6 for the first 6 in the first quarter alone, which was just hideous.
Set the tone for the game.
It did. It was just hideous. And so you kind of knew you were in for a really tough day if you can't stop a team in the first quarter alone. But now the Patriots, they'll find themselves back in a tie for the AFC East lead. You've got the Buffalo Bills, who are at home this week. They won their home away from home game in Toronto, but they're back at home in the friendly confines this week. And they have the big bad New York Jets, and the Bills are perfect at home. The Jets have yet to win on the road. And we were just talking about this a short while ago, Russell, but quite frankly, if you're a Pats fan, I think you want the Jets to find a way to get through on the road this week.
Well, listen, you look what Buffalo did last week, John. And in case you weren't updated, Elias always goes back during the week and changes some stats, not because they want to, but they'll review plays and so on. And John Beck, who was sacked 9 times on Sunday, actually got sacked 1 more time yesterday, bringing the total to 10 sacks. The Bills, who had given up at least 400 yards in 5 consecutive games, held the Redskins to 178 total yards and shut out a Mike Shanahan team for the first time as a head coach.
Mm.
So I thought that was a startling result, because what have we seen from the Bills this year? Not so great defense, but they get takeaways.
Right.
Last week, they just kind of shut the Redskins down. Now, that being said, I still think their run defense is a little shaky, to say the least. And what the Jets were able to do last year was absolutely maul them on the ground. And be it LaDainian Tomlinson and Sean Green the first time they played last year, and even Joe McKnight last year in the game, the last regular season game of the year, in which the Jets had over 270 yards rushing, they were able to push the Bills around defense. I mean, with their offense, and push around the Bills' defense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have not seen that from the Jets this year. That's the peculiar thing. Their game plan has been, inconsistent, erratic. I mean, take your pick, whatever adjective you want to use. Let me ask you this. In this battle of quarterbacks, now you've seen, obviously, the Bills play all year, and you've seen the Jets play all year.
Mm-hmm.
If I told you that Mark Sanchez has thrown more passes than Ryan Fitzpatrick this year, you would tell me that's a typo, correct?
Just glancing, sure, yeah. I mean, yes. You wouldn't think that.
No, you wouldn't think that, but he is actually attempted more passes than Ryan Fitzpatrick in the same amount of games.
Hmm.
I was surprised to find that out. But when you think about how the Jets have played this year, that ground and pound just hasn't happened. This would be a good week to get that back going again. And the thing about the Bills is the Bills find way to score points. So you're going to have to, once again, utilize your running game and maybe try to keep the Bills off the field and try to play mistake-free football. The difference between Mark Sanchez and Ryan Fitzpatrick is a lot of accuracy. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is completing about 68% of his passes, and Mark Sanchez is about 56% of his passes. And I know they had the big rally against San Diego 2 weeks ago and so on, but I don't know. The Bills have a little mojo this year, and I think that win in New England catapulted them. The win over New England, even though they lost the week after to Cincinnati. Okay, mm-hmm. we're showing that Cincinnati's a pretty good defensive team. That's what we're learning about the Bengals.
Yep.
So I think they're going to be in the hall. I really think the Bills are going to be in this race for a long haul. This 2-team race that we've gotten used to, I think, is going to turn into a 3-team race. And until proven otherwise, which it seems to be my theme that, it never seems to work. The Bills win at home. The Jets lose on the road. I'll take the Bills this week.
Wow. You mentioned, 3-team race. The fourth team is still over. They're going to go on the road this week to play a Kansas City team that, might have been a little bit fortunate, but certainly came up with a big plays at the right time to get on the plus side of 500 in their win over San Diego this last week in Kansas City. Are the Dolphins a threat to go over for the year?
I think they play very, very hard. You remember, 4 years ago, they were an 0-for for a long time. They were 0-13.
I believe they did go to 13, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and
right.
Then beat Baltimore, and we're a 1-15 team. And then, of course, Bill Parcells and Jeff Ireland all came in and turned over the regime, Tony Sperano and so on. But, they've now lost 10 games in a row going back to last year. And the last 2 weeks, they blew a 15-point lead to Denver late. They blew an 11-point lead in the second quarter to the Giants. I mean, they came out and ran the ball very, very well. Reggie Bush had a C-note, which you don't see that very often, but they can't sustain anything. And, Kansas City, I will say this, Kansas City, who was 0-3, you want to talk about dreadful, 89-10 the first two games of the year they lost by.
Right, this is a pretty good turnaround. Pretty good turnaround for Kansas City.
Yeah, 0-3 and now 4-3 in a three-way tie for first place. But I don't know about you, I didn't think they played overly well Monday night as well. I mean, this was not a good couple of weeks for AFC West quarterbacks around the league. I mean, if you go back and look at the last time every team in the AFC West played, John,
mm-hmm.
every one of their quarterbacks had three turnovers, but Tim Tebow only had two. Now, I don't know if that makes sense, to what I'm saying, but I'm just pointing out. You take Carson Palmer and Kyle Bowler for the Raiders when they last played against the Chiefs. You take Matt Cassel and Phillip Rivers last Monday night, and you take Tim Tebow against the Lions. Two touchdown passes, 14 turnovers, and four of the turnovers returned for touchdowns against those AFC West quarterbacks. Matt Cassel turned over the ball three times Monday night. Again, very fortunate win for them. I think Miami will play hard. I think Miami will open up a lead. I think Miami will probably find a way to squander it, and I'll bet the Chiefs wind up winning something like 21-17.
You know, there are a bunch of great games this weekend that are all worthy of watching and would be interesting, you know, to follow along. I obviously can't follow along with every one of them like you do, because I've got kind of my own game to deal with, but let me touch on a couple of games that I might not normally touch on, in the NFC in particular. The one team that, the team that has the second best record in the NFL, the San Francisco 49ers, 6-1, but they're perfect 3-0 away from home. And they're going on the road to play a Washington team that, is a little disappointing over last week as well. How real are the 49ers? That defense looks pretty good.
Yeah, I think their defense is real good. And they keep on getting better and better offensively. You know, they've limited their mistakes. They run the football with authority. You really have to be impressed, with the way Frank Gore, four games in a row, at least 120 yards,
yeah.
at least one touchdown.
Yeah.
And the Redskins' defense, now I'll just throw this out. The last four games the Niners have played, we just talked about Frank Gore, at least 160 yards rushing in each game. The Redskins' defense, which started out very, very well, and now their team has lost three in a row, they're giving up at least 130 yards on the ground each of the last three games, including a boatload against the Bills, and we saw Carolina run on them. Their defense was supposed to be the hallmark of their team while they figured out Rex Grossman and John Beck. And last week and in recent weeks, they just haven't been able to stop the run. Now, I don't know if that's a mix of not being able to sustain anything offensively, probably a combination of both, but, you know, the 49ers, you know, you remember a couple years ago when everybody was, you know, all upset about West Coast teams traveling east.
Sure, yeah.
And having problems and playing early games and so on.
Mm-hmm.
That really hasn't been a problem for the 49ers. I mean, you mentioned the 3-0 road record. They won in Cincinnati this year, which was an early game. They won in Philadelphia this year, which was an early game. Jim Harbaugh's done a great job. He obviously is a strong contender for Coach of the Year honors and so on. And until the Redskins develop some consistency, or they get into Alex Smith in the backfield and sack him three or four times and turn him over two or three times, which we haven't seen that much from Alex Smith this year. He's done a really good job with ball security.
Yeah, he's been solid.
Yes, I think you got to stick with the hot Niners here. That NFC East has gotten real interesting. Who would have thought after opening day when the Redskins beat the Giants, and again, it's one game, but we're closing in the midway of the season. The Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Redskins are all 3-4,
mm-hmm.
and the Giants are sitting atop the division with a two-game lead over all of them.
Right.
And remember, the Giants have already won at Philadelphia this year.
Right. So we know that the division's going to be rooting for the Patriots this weekend, without a doubt.
Well, no, there's absolutely no doubt about it. Pom-poms in hand.
Yes. You know, one of the great enigmas, I think, over the course of the last few weeks in the NFL has to be the New Orleans Saints. How do you thrash somebody 62-7, and then the next week you lose to St. Louis, which was winless? I mean, we've seen this happen in the NFL, and teams kind of set themselves up for great failure. But that's a great failure, Russell. And, you know, the Saints this week, they're not facing a nobody. It's actually a pretty good matchup with Tampa Bay.
Oh, and Tampa Bay already beat them this year.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay intercepted Drew Brees three times in the game in Tampa 3 weeks ago, including a real crucial one in the end zone when the Saints were driving to take the lead. Here was something that kind of got lost. And if you watched the Saints-Colts game, and I know everybody didn't stick around for 62-7 and so on, but if I would have told you that the Colts, in losing by 55 points, had 155 yards rushing, I think that might have surprised you. If you watch the Saints against the run, and DeLon Carter had a long run down the right sideline with a lot of tackling reminiscent of Marshawn Lynch's run against the Saints. The Saints don't, to me, appear to be a very good tackling team.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, you saw it again. 31 carries, 183 yards for the Rams running game. Now, I'm not saying anybody expected that. I mean, you had a Rams team that, you know, gave up 253 yards rushing to a rookie from Dallas, DeMarco Murray. You never expected them to clamp down. But, you know, I don't think what people realize that Drew Brees, in the Super Bowl season, and he didn't play every game, he sat out the last game. He only threw 11 interceptions that season. Last year he threw 22. This year he's already thrown 10. So if you take Drew Brees' last 24 games, he's thrown 32 picks.
Wow.
He's got the most interceptions in the league since the start of last season.
And yet nobody...
I know he also has the touchdown streak as well. But he's throwing a lot of picks, and some of these picks are inexplicable, getting returned for touchdowns. He's falling down. You know, he looks like he's taken too much upon himself. And I know that's the way the Saints play. But that lack of balance sometimes for them, when you're a one-man show in this league, it doesn't work. There's no better example of that in the Indianapolis Colts. They don't have their one-man show, and look what's happening to them right now.
Yeah, that's very true. It's just amazing, though, that a guy like Drew Brees can, you know, actually have the numbers that he has, and yet we still think of him as one of the top, you know, two or three quarterbacks in the entire league. And yet his
there's
numbers,
no doubt about it.
His numbers are pedestrian.
Play,
yeah.
You watch, and listen, they were flawless against the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
But, it just shows you can't go down the schedule and just go, you know, win, win, loss. Well, we'll be 11-5. It doesn't work that way. I'm always amazed by people who look at schedules and look down the road and can forecast a team is going to do the rest of the year. And these same people can't pick week to week.
No, but we do it anyway.
No, I know, but you understand my point.
Yes.
See, you can't pick week to week, but you can pick month to month.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. You
mentioned. Listen, it also shows you the degree of professionalism around this league as well. I mean, you saw, you know, the Colts are struggling, and they have a lot of reasons why, but, it's not like the Dolphins every week are, you know, not putting up a good effort. They play very, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to give the Rams credit, because after what happened to the Rams, I mean, think about it. The Saints won by 55 the same day the Rams lost by 27. And then the Rams beat the Saints by 10.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a late, late touchdown, by the way, by the Saints, which kept Drew Brees' touchdown streak alive.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rams really dominated that game last week. And a shocker, you know, it's funny, if that would have happened early in the season, John, I don't think people would have been as surprised, because I know I was one of those people, and I know other people as well, who thought the Rams had a great shot at winning the NFC West this year. Unfortunately, they dug themselves a very, very big hole, and with the Niners, the way they're going, you know, it's literally impossible for that to happen.
Right. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Cincinnati's going to go for their fifth straight win. Holy crap.
Yeah. That's not even the worst thing you've said today.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But, I mean, good grief. You know, first of all, that's more than they've won all of last year. Well, they won four games last year. So you're talking about, you know, a Cincinnati team that's off to their best start since their Super Bowl era, and this really has come from out of nowhere. I mean, honestly, out of nowhere.
I agree. To me, them and the Bills both came out of nowhere.
Great stories.
I know the Bills last year, as you know, John, were 4-4 after being 0-8.
Right. But we
you also remember the last two games of the year, which they lost 72-10.
Right. But we did
to the
see
Patriots
at least,
and the Jets.
Right. But we did see the Bills at least, you know, some momentum start to build. I mean, the Bengals and what they've done, we really, that hit like the blind side.
No, I know. And I know they, I want to say they won their, what, two of their last three games, but they also lost, they had a 10-game losing streak in the middle of last year.
Right.
And also, you know, Carson Palmer doesn't want to be here anymore. Ocho Cinco is gone. You know, they made their share of changes. And,
yeah,
and,
thanks,
you know,
for, the, thanks for
you
that,
know, we,
by the
we
way.
We know the Bengals, you know, with the occasional, and listen, they won the division just 2 years ago in 2009.
Right.
But there's an occasional Bengal sighting. Okay, that's the bottom line. Okay, I mean they haven't won a playoff game since 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they beat the Tennessee Titans were the Houston Oilers. That's the last time the Bengals won a playoff game.
Mm.
Okay,
wow.
So it is surprising. And the thing that's impressive about them is it's not just the young quarterback and a lot of their young players, A.J. Green and so on. They've really done it defensively. They've really done it with a defensive front that I think is 7 or 8 guys deep. And they've gotten great production from them. Last week they wound up giving up a lot of yards, but they also made a lot of big plays against Seattle. They're very much, I mean, they are very, very much in this. And they have yet to play the Ravens this year. They have yet to play the Steelers this year. That division, except for the Browns being under 500, you know, that's a defensive-laden division, as I'm sure you well know. You know, the Ravens right now boast the number one defense in the league. The Steelers are number two.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals are 4. The Browns are 5. And going into last week, yards allowed, it was all 4 AFC North teams were the top 4 defenses. Again, that's based on yards allowed, I know. But it shows you that every division, as you know, takes on a kind of a personality of its own.
Sure.
And that's been kind of the AFC North this year. It's been defensive-oriented. You know, but of course, then you also see Baltimore beat Pittsburgh 35-7 the opening week of the season. So,
right.
Not all defense, but mostly defense. And that's why Cincinnati is where they are. It's really their defense and really steady play, not spectacular, from Andy Dalton.
Do you like the Bengals against the Titans on the road?
Well, we've still been waiting for Chris Johnson.
Yeah,
I mean,
we have.
It's astounding. I did a number this week. Chris Johnson has been under 50 yards 4 times in 7 games this year. Now, I'll put that in perspective. In his first 3 seasons in the league, which would be 47 games because he missed one, he was under 50 yards 7 times.
Hmm.
I mean, this is a guy who ran for 2,000 yards 2 years ago. And they are where they are a lot because of Matt Hasselbeck. You know, Javon Ringer is now getting more playing time. This, to me, this game's got overtime written all over it, and I'm going to kind of lean, I think, towards the Titans finding a way to squeak this one out.
2 other quick games I wanted to touch on. Great matchups, marquee teams. Packers, the only undefeated at 7-0, going on the road to take on San Diego. Chargers, you know, probably should be 6-1. Probably should be 6-1, but they're not, and they stubbed their toe again. So now they have a chance to prove, and they are undefeated at home at 4-3 overall. They have a chance to prove that they need to still be in the discussion in the AFC if they can beat Green Bay.
Well, probably is probably the byword in San Diego for about 6 or 7 years.
Oh, more than that. More than
yes,
that.
Yes, I mean, they probably should have won a couple of Super Bowls.
Yep.
They probably, you know, they go on and on with them and so on. They probably should get off to better starts. This year they finally get off to a good start that they're 4-1, and now they've lost consecutive road games, and they blew an 11-point halftime lead against the Jets, and of course the ball slipped through Philip Rivers' hands on Monday night when it looked like they were certainly in field goal range.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in field goal range. It's not even a certainty, per se. So, very strange, you know, and you know, Philip Rivers, who has turned over the ball 14 times in 7 games this year, which is absolutely astounding. Now, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, who are riding, let me see, a 13-game winning streak since the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all 4 in the playoffs, their last 2 regular season games. They're the only undefeated team. Showed some cracks against Minnesota, but then exploded in the third quarter, wound up winning that game 33-27. They're coming off their bye week. I don't know what this means. Do you know the Packers have never lost to the Chargers in San Diego?
Wow, no, I did not know that.
And I don't know what that means because it goes back 40-something years. The funny thing is the Packers have only ever lost 1 game in San Diego, and that was the Super Bowl to the Broncos.
Wow.
So I don't know what that means. It probably means nothing, to be honest with you, but it makes for good trivia and good lead-ins and, you know, good comments and et cetera, et cetera.
Do they keep that streak alive?
I think this is desperation time for San Diego. And Philip Rivers, who has only thrown 3 interceptions, and I think that's his lone turnovers of the year, I get the feeling we're going to see the ball out a couple of times, okay? And I think San Diego is going to need to at least take one of those back. And this is actually my Super Bowl preview. okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying San Diego wins this game and then they beat the Packers in the Super Bowl. They're in a dogfight, obviously, in the AFC West. And the Chargers are, I'm sorry, the Packers are playing at an extremely high level. But I get the feeling, because they've been such a good rhythm team, that maybe the bye week hurts them a little. And I'm just going to take San Diego here out of sheer and utter desperation for them.
Okay. The other game I wanted to touch on is the Sunday night game, Ravens at Steelers. Obviously, this is the rematch of the 35-7 pounding that the Ravens put on them in the season opener. Patriots fans saw firsthand what the Steelers are capable of, and I think they know what the Ravens are capable of. Steelers get them at home. How much does the revenge factor help or hurt Pittsburgh in this one?
Well, listen, Pittsburgh, I think, gained a lot of confidence in beating New England last week, and I know that's a strange thing to say for a franchise that's been to three of the last six Super Bowls. But that game on opening day, I think, rattled them to a bit. Okay. Now, obviously, they've rebounded well. They're 6-1 in their last seven games. In fact, John, they turned over the ball seven times in that loss to the Ravens, and they have turned over the ball six times in the last seven games. But if you watch that game, even though the Steelers had a lot of turnovers, that really wasn't the story of the game. The story of the game was the fact that the Ravens ran for 170 yards on them. The fact of the game that Joe Flacco threw three touchdown passes without an interception.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore took it to them on both sides of the ball. And even though Pittsburgh comes off a very, very impressive win over New England, I think that this is a tricky spot for them. They have always handled business with the Ravens in Pittsburgh. Now, I know Baltimore won there last year, but that was with Charlie Batch as the quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger has been, you know, Terrell Suggs has made a living out of sacking him. But if you remember the game last year in Baltimore, Terrell Suggs also couldn't get Big Ben down, and that turned out to be a crucial play when they came back and beat them. Simply put, let me tell you how important this game is for the Ravens. The last time they beat Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh was 2006.
Wow.
It was also the last time they swept the Steelers. It was also the last time they won the division. Even though they've been a perennial playoff team, they have not won the AFC North since 2006. So remember, they've been a wild card team the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very, very important for them to win this game. And Pittsburgh is a little shorthanded. I'm going to take the Steelers at home somehow, some way, because that's how this series has been. You haven't seen a lot of blowouts in this series. I thought that was shocking.
It is. And of course, still is to this day. It's shocking.
Yes. Well, and of course, and here's the problem with Baltimore. Baltimore hasn't built on that, John. Okay? They took that game on opening day and a week later went down to Tennessee and got beat. They played Houston this year, and they built on that by going to Jacksonville and getting beat. And then last week they fell behind the Cardinals by three touchdowns. So they haven't gotten better, and the quarterback, Joe Flacco, has struggled. Since that performance against the Steelers, he had three touchdown passes and zero picks, like I said. In his last six games, he has five touchdown passes and 10 turnovers. He had his share of turnovers last week. He had a big fumble last week that set up a touchdown for the Cardinals, a point-blank range for them. So he needs to play better. Again, I'm going to take the Steelers because even though Pittsburgh's offensive line will have a lot of problems with Haloti Ngata especially, because Haloti Ngata and Terrence Cody, the new nose tackle for them. I mean, their defense has turned over and added some youth to that unit. But Pittsburgh always seems to make a play, either offensively or defensively, that turns this series around. And again, it's been 5 years since the Ravens swept them, and it would be huge to me. It would really boost the Ravens' confidence to finally sweep Pittsburgh after having not doing it in a while.
Right.
But I'm going to take Pittsburgh at home, mainly because they are at home, and they've become a very, very good home team the last year and a half.
Okay. This, of course, brings us to 4:15 at Foxborough's Gillette Stadium, where I am right now in our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. I have to drop that in once a show. You had this on your website on profootballguru.com, so I'm just going to sort of steal it and give it back to you here.
Absolutely.
One way to defuse and beat the Patriots is to keep Tom Brady off the field. Last week, the Steelers utilized a ball control passing attack that kept the three-time Super Bowl champ on the sidelines for the majority of the game. Another way to pressure Brady, which is usually easier said than done, but it has become a little less of an issue as of late. Last week, Pittsburgh had three sacks in their 25-17 win, meaning Brady has been sacked 10 times in the last three games compared to only four times in the first 4 weeks. And then, of course, enter the New York Giants, who lead the NFL with 26 sacks this season. To me, I think you hit the whole game in a nutshell right there. If the Giants can continue with that kind of pressure on an opposing quarterback, the Patriots are going to have trouble. But for some reason or another, they seem to protect him better at home.
Well, yeah, and they play better at home, and it's been a long time since they lost a regular season home game, as we well know.
20 in a row.
And, right. You know, as we all know, this is the first meaningful, I know they play in the preseason all the time, but the first time since the Super Bowl that these teams are going to see each other. And,
in a meaningful game,
you know,
right.
Fortunately, the quarterbacks haven't changed. It's funny, it's like the third immediate Super Bowl rematch we've had in the last couple of weeks, and we had Pittsburgh and Arizona, but there's no Kurt Warner, and we had New Orleans and Indianapolis, but there was no Peyton Manning. This is really... We get to see Eli Manning and we get to see Tom Brady, and that's all good. But if you remember the Super Bowl, and I know you did, that's what the Super Bowl was all about. Pressuring Brady, sacking him five times, spending a lot of time in the backfield, limiting their time that he had the ball, and so on. The Giants, for the first time in over 2 years, have played games where they didn't commit back-to-back turnovers. And that is huge for them because that's been the biggest problem for them. Last year, they led the league in turnovers. Of course, they also led the league in takeaways.
Yep.
So, but the team that was second in takeaways last year, I believe, was the New England Patriots.
Yes.
So they know how to turn over people as well. The Giants, to me, are playing better football as of late, again, because they're eliminating mistakes, but they're also playing fine line football, okay? They rallied to beat the Bills. You know, had 2 weeks off. Then they rallied to beat the Dolphins. They're doing just enough. That's great. You win every game by three. You can go undefeated that way. But I think New England is going to come out here and try to shock them or surprise them early with some quick strikes. And if they get Peyton Manning throwing more than he wants to, and, you know, depending on what you read, the Giants' running game could be or could be without Ahmad Bradshaw this week.
Right. We've reported that he has actually a broken foot.
And I've read, I've read that. I've also read it's not as serious as we think, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yeah. Yep.
In any way, we know he has a hurt foot.
Yes.
So I don't know how effective he's going to be. So is this going to turn into a game where Peyton Manning is going to have to play like Ben Roethlisberger last week, where he's going to have to complete 72% of his passes and try to keep the ball away from the Patriots for 40 minutes. I don't think that is going to happen 2 weeks in a row to New England. I think New England is going to try to pounce early, and I like the Patriots in this game. I think that, you know, that winning streak at home is there for a reason. Now, I will also say, I bet they get to Brady again.
Yeah.
Remember, the Jets did sack him four times in the game a couple of weeks ago. The Cowboys sacked him three times. That's how we get to the 10 sacks in three games. But he rallied to beat the Cowboys, and he also beat the Jets. So, I mean, let's not confuse the sacks with saying that all of a sudden this team is totally falling apart. The Giants' defense is erratic. Sometimes they get to the quarterback. When they don't get to the quarterback, they will give up their share of big plays. And I think the Patriots do what they do best, nibble, use those two tight ends. Brady, I think, will rebound from what I'm sure was not a great game for him last week. I mean, he threw for less than 200 yards.
Right.
And, you know, to me, that was interesting about the game was, even though the Steelers got the three sacks, John, they seem more like coverage sacks, except for the last one, when Ziggy Hood came in and swatted the ball out of his hand. The Woodley sacks seemed like they were more coverage sacks than anything else. That's just my opinion. But I think the Patriots rebound here. I think they just have the ability to score points more regularly than the Giants do. And I think if the Giants' running game is not up to snuff, be it health, you know, be it Bradshaw plays, doesn't play, is ineffective, et cetera, et cetera, I think the Patriots rebound here.
Well, I would tend to agree. The one thing that, you know, does alarm me, and I know it concerns a lot of Patriots fans at this point, has to do with the fact, well, maybe the Giants don't necessarily need the running game, because if that means Eli throws, well, then that just means that he's going to be throwing against a secondary that has taken its lumps and probably regressed in a lot of ways last week as opposed to the previous 2 weeks against the Jets and the Cowboys. So somehow, some way, the Patriots have to find a way to put some pressure on Manning just to give that secondary a little bit extra time to be able to cover. I also expect, and I think most fans as well, this Patriots defense just cannot play man defense. There's got to be a better mixture of zone and cover two and whatever have you in there, but they can't man up. And the thing that surprised us all the most about what Pittsburgh did last week was that they came out and they manned up against the Patriots, receivers. And I think that caught the Patriots off guard. And
No doubt about it.
And I haven't seen the Patriots that off guard and that surprised by a game plan in quite a while.
Well, as you know, they were coming off a bye. They have, you know, Tom Brady threw for what, 350 yards in each of his last three games against the Steelers?
Yeah.
You know, Dick LeBeau, you know, he's the father of the zone blitz, and they've had their number against the zone blitz. And the zone blitz is hard to figure out, but the Patriots have done, and Brady have done a great job of figuring it out. But it's different when you don't come out and zone blitz. They came out and played a totally different defense against the Patriots and against mostly everybody else. I mean, that's the first time I've seen the Steelers kind of play that way this year.
Mm-hmm.
So here are the Patriots, you know, thinking it's going to be the same defense that they've seen over the years, same defense that they saw on a Sunday night last year, with 2 weeks to prepare for that defense. Maybe in some peculiar way, maybe the bye week hurts them because they're very prepared to see the zone defense, and I don't know that because I don't know how often they were in meetings and so on. And they come out, and the Steelers play a totally different concept defensively. So, you know, you got to give hats off to the Steelers for doing what they did, but that all of a sudden doesn't put, you know, the Patriots in last place. So
right, right, okay. Hey, by the way, I didn't get a chance to ask. How did you survive the storm in Connecticut?
Well, we have been one of the fortunate houses. I live in a town called Cheshire, Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
Which, as of Sunday, 91% of the homes here had no power.
Yeah,
we were 9%, one of the 9%
that did.
Yes.
Wow.
We lost our power on two separate occasions, and none of it for less than 2 hours. And I've got a lot of branches in my yard. You know, not Dion Branch or Cliff Branch, but a lot of branches in my yard. And there's a lot of cleanup to do. But fortunately, we've been able to you know, help out some friends, and you know, people stop in. It's amazing what a shower will do.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
And so on, and especially when you can't get to. You know, when your life changes, I mean, there are people in Connecticut here who still don't have power and may not have power until at least Sunday or Monday.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So it's fortunate, and you know, just try to help out your friends more than anything else. But I appreciate you asking, John. I hope you guys got through it as well. It was just a fluke thing. I mean,
yeah.
You have a snowstorm and you have leaves on the trees, and you know, who knew would something like that would happen? But you know.
No
Mother
question.
Nature strikes again.
Well, in Rhode Island, made out very well. We did lose power here at the stadium, which canceled our Game with the Greats event last week. But that's been rescheduled for the end of November. But everybody seems to be rounding back into shape. All the power is restored here, mostly in the area. So that part is good. But I know a lot of my friends in Connecticut really got hit hard, mm-hmm. especially those friends of ours who, you know, work at ESPN. So I did want to ask and hope that everything is going okay.
Oh, I appreciate you doing that, too. And yeah, I mean, my friends from there and so on, from ESPN, who have, like I said, you know, my daughter plays with their kids. We, you know, we've been able to have some time with the kids. And,
yeah.
Like I said, come over and get a meal, do some laundry, et cetera, et cetera. I know this sounds like funny stuff to talk about on a sports radio show, but, you know, Connecticut, like I said, the Northeast got really, really
rocked. Yeah, got rocked.
And it was just, you know, it was just one of those crazy storms, but... Like I said, if there's no leaves on the tree, I don't think we would have seen any kind of.
You're right.
Yeah, it
you're
was
right.
Just one. It's just one of those things. Who
yeah.
figure it out? And I don't try to figure out things like that. I just clean up afterwards and say my prayers. And very fortunate that you know that I have good friends and I'm able to help them out, and I know they would do the same for me if the situation was reversed.
No question. You're a good friend, Russell. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. And let's see. I'm really intrigued by this game with the Giants. It's a really intriguing weekend.
It is a great weekend for football.
We've got three divisional rematches this week. You know, we're starting to get into the meat of teams playing each other twice.
Yep.
And so on. The Sunday night game, the Super Bowl rematch. Very intriguing week as we get to the halfway point of the year.
Absolutely. Look forward to it again next week, buddy.
You got it, John.
Thanks. Russell Baxter, profootballguru.com is where you get his stuff. You can follow him on Twitter at Bax, B-A-X, Football Guru, at Bax Football Guru on Twitter. Guy knows his stuff better than most people I know that cover pro football for a living, and this guy's he's amazing.
The amount of things he can pull out of his head with no sheet.
Oh, it's no, yeah. All this stuff is off the top of his head. He doesn't have the plethora of notes in front of him. He has a few things, but he pulls all this stuff off the top of his head. And when he worked at ESPN for as long as he did, which basically since the inception of the network, he was the one person at the network, I love to tell this story, the one person out of the thousands of employees at ESPN whose sole job was the NFL 365 days a year. Now, they since farmed out his work and unfortunately, to my understanding, kind of passed it off on to others because, frankly, in this day and age, everybody looks to cut costs, and that includes even the worldwide leader, but the alleged worldwide leader. But, you know, Russell, is, you know, he still does pretty well, and he's ventured out on his own, and so I hope that you'll follow him on Pro Football Guru because God knows his stuff.
You mean this cost-cutting measures in broadcasting?
Spoken like somebody who knows.
where am I? What year is this?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, my goodness. So, what do you think about this weekend?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm so psyched for LSU-Alabama. Until I found out, I'm not going to watch.
Why?
Because I will be glued. Why? Why? Isn't it obvious? Jose Canseco and Lenny Dykstra?
Oh.
In a pay-per-view fight?
In a pay-per-view fight.
I'm teasing. There's also a great undercard. Some undercard. Joey Buttafuoco was fighting. I got to get the whole thing. We'll read it at the end of the show. It's freaking hysterical. Who's fighting in this? These ridiculous. I mean, I wouldn't pay 2 cents for it. If it was free, I'd maybe in between. I can't wait for LSU.
They're trying to make money.
I cannot wait for LSU Alabama.
It's going to be a great game.
I hope it is. I hope it lives up to its hype.
Yeah, me too.
I think it will. But it's a great week for football. I mean, NFL games.
Seven or eight great games.
Can't wait. Yeah. Green Bay, San Diego. Unfortunately, on the same time as the Patriots. So, but I mean, there's just a whole bunch of games I'm interested in seeing and. It's going to be a great week. It's going to be a great week. Pittsburgh, Baltimore on Sunday night. Philly and Chicago on Monday night. It's just going to be a great week of football. I can't
awesome
wait.
Stuff.
Great day of college, too. No college for you this week?
No games this week.
BC, Florida State tonight. I think it's going to be a very close game.
Yeah, I think they'll probably
play
make a
tough.
Game. Yeah, they'll make a game of
yep.
it. Next one for me is actually I have basketball this week. I have a coach's show tonight. Friars have an exhibition on Saturday.
Oh,
and then,
against who?
Against Mass Lowell, believe it or not.
You Mass Lowell?
Mm-hmm.
Get out. That's nice.
And then football next week, I'm back at the Cuse.
Did you see the Kansas exhibition game against whoever they were playing? And they hit like, what, 9 straight threes or something?
Something like that.
Some ridiculous.
I also saw what UConn did to AIC last night. So.
Oh, man.
What was the score of that? 212-6?
Did those other schools, close. Did those schools in exhibition, they get some money out of this?
Of course they do.
Okay, I was just thinking.
Well, but you got to remember, AIC's Calhoun's alma mater.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so
true.
That's why they do that.
Well, that's not. I mean, I don't. It's fine. Yeah. But it seems to be a lot more. I remember back in the day, back in the 70s, and Providence would play like Assumption and Stonehill, and
all
those
the time.
Were damn good Division II teams.
Yep.
I mean, those were good games.
Assumption is actually still pretty good Division II team this year.
Yeah.
So, but Mass Lowell is like a top 10 team in Division II, so I think the Friars get a test on Saturday.
Hope they win.
I'm not holding my breath on anything this year, Pete. All right, tell me what you got coming up.
Well, B-Lo is under the weather.
Oh,
I'm convinced it's because he yelled and screamed during his reception at his wedding when I wasn't here. So it must all be setting in. But anyway,
we were going to have the two newlyweds on
together.
I know.
Well, we're going to still do fantasy football. My buddy Poker Mike is going to call in at 4 o'clock or 4:05, and he's really good as well. I mean, nobody's like B-Lo, but this guy, my buddy Poker Mike, is fantastic.
Poker Mike, it is.
We're still, so just keep sending the emails to webradio@patriots.com. We're going to do a full hour of the fantasy football. I think there's some intriguing matchups from a fantasy football standpoint too, and the Patriots and Giants might be the best one. for it. Lots of stats coming out of that game, I think.
Awesome. All right. Coming up, Pete Shepard Show just shortly. Let me wind up here with a couple of emails. Josh from Virginia. Guys, I have to make this quick because I'm at work. No kidding. I think Eli Manning is going to move the ball well, but I don't think the Giants have the offensive weapons that it will take to keep up with the Pats' offense. Not only are the Pats 20-0 at home, but they're also coming in madder than hell after last week's game. As long as they come out and play like the team that we all know and love, I predict they'll win 34-21. Only because our defense is still suffering. Hopefully in time, BB will have our D ready for action. All right. Fair enough. And then this one comes from Adam in Connecticut. I know it's a day late. I can't listen live since I'm at work and download the podcast, but I just wanted to vent a bit. I don't have a problem with the game on Sunday. Well, I do, but I know it's a marathon and not a sprint. My problem is with personnel, specifically the draft. Overall, I love Bill's approach to the draft. The value approach allows for flexibility for that draft and drafts for years to come. Two picks in the first three rounds last year, two in the first two rounds next year. My problem is the players he picks. I mean, Cunningham, Merriweather, Butler, McKenzie, Wheatley, Wilhite, Maroney, Jackson, on and 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 on. I added the ons there. If you go back and look at the drafts, these players were never highly rated by the draft professionals and Bill's own scouting team. There's always value in later rounds. Jennings, Dunlop, Sean Lee, Matthews, and on and on and on and on and on, and I added those ons too. That we had multiple opportunities to grab, but Bill didn't listen to any advice from his closest advisors. Went with what he wanted. Well, we don't know that for a fact, Adam, but we do understand that Bill does drive the bus. I'm sure that there are things that are bounced off of him, and he either accepts or he denies one or the other. As a result, we have the worst draft retention in the league. We're starting guys like Ehedebo, Sergio Brown, Antoine Molden, Phillip Adams, and other scrap heap bums. Hit his mic there.
But he forgot about Gerard Mayo, McCourty, Spikes.
Yeah.
And a bunch of others that, yeah. I mean, you know, I can counter that.
It just seems.
And Lawrence
bad.
Maroney, I mean, yes, he ended up being a bust, but he was one of the highly rated running backs coming out.
By a lot of people.
You know, it's a crapshoot.
Will Fork.
Yeah, Will Fork.
I mean, you know, I can counter every bad one with a good move. And that's what, you know what? Every team is like that.
Of course. So. Of course, he says anyway. Bill would be able to easily jump into the draft, grab a high-level prospect, still have ammo to trade down and for future picks, and thanks for letting me vent. Okay, you're welcome. Consider yourself vented. I wanted to finish up here. I've got just a couple of others, and let me get them out here. Oh, Nathan. Sent this via Facebook. He says, John, how about the O-line? Can you address how they'll match up with the Giants pass rush? I think this is the key matchup in the game on Sunday, Nathan. And we kind of alluded to it earlier in the program, but I'll say this quite simply. Depending upon what Osiu Manure's status is, and we know he has a bum shoulder, but he should be, and the Giants expect him to be ready to go. You have Umanura and Tuck on the ends. You probably have Jason Pierre-Paul, who technically backs up Umanura, but he'll be in there at the other end as well. So they really rotate those three guys in there, and those three guys scare the hell out of me, especially when you know that you have Matt Light, who from time to time does get beat by speed rushers. You have the rookie Nate Solder on the other side, and if Solder's not in there, then it's going to be Sebastian Vollmer, who is still recovering from a back injury. He did get a few snaps last week. The hope here, and he's been practicing all this week, the hope is that he continues to round back into form, because this team is probably better if you actually have Vollmer in there healthy. That's a huge key to this game. And whether or not the Giants either try to beat him around in or try to take it up the middle, try to get by Connolly, force a double-team situation in there, and then take advantage around in. So, to me, that's the matchup of the game. I'll be watching the trenches and whether or not the Giants can put some kind of pressure on the Patriots offensive line and keep Brady relatively clean. Brady's been sacked 10, 11 times over the last three games, but he's taken probably 17, 18, 20 hits over the last three games as well. That is going to be a huge, huge thing to watch as this game progresses on Sunday afternoon here at Gillette Stadium. Do I have one more here? Yes. Steve. It's time after all these years to finally admit it. I'm responsible for the outcome of the game that should not be mentioned. My father and aunt are diehard Giants fans, and this is what I had to grow up with. I decided to break my superstition, drive 45 minutes north to sit with them during the game for the purpose of rubbing it in when the Pats go undefeated. I was pumped and ready for it. And this was the one and only time I sat to watch the Patriots play at my parents' house. And needless to say, I will never do that again. That was a long, quiet drive home. I send my sincerest apologies to Patriots Nation. However, this weekend, the Pats win 34-17. I expect to see Price make big plays on offense and Carter to show us more on defense. So there. And I added the so there for you, Steve. All right, thanks to Russell Baxter. Same Pats time. Same Pats Channel Tuesday. We recap this one, and we push forward. Pete Shepard next.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.